Chapter 2. Nuestra Pequeña Casa, Meyerling Country Club, Pilar, Buenos Aires Province, Argentina. 1645 hours, 31 August 2005. Sergeant Kensington, Lieutenant Colonel C.G. Castillo said, if you say unfucking believable one more time, I'm going to have the Sergeant Major wash your mouth out with soap. Sergeant Robert Kensington, a smallish, trim 21-year-old, turned from a huge flat-screen television screen mounted on the wall of the sitting room and looked uneasily at Lieutenant Colonel Castillo, who was 36, blue-eyed, had a nice thick head of hair, and stood a shade over 6 feet tall and 190 pounds. Sergeant Major John K. Davidson, who was 32 and a little larger than Lieutenant Colonel Castillo, looked at him, smiled, and said, with all possible respect, Colonel, sir, the sergeant is right. It is unfucking believable. He's got you there, Ace. A nondescript man in his late 50s, wearing a blue denim shirt and brown corduroy trousers, said, chuckling, unfucking believable, fits like a glove. His name was Edgar Delchamp, and though technically subordinate to the lieutenant colonel, he was not particularly awed by Castillo. Men who have spent more than 30 years in the clandestine service of the Central Intelligence Agency tend not to be awed by 36-year-old, recently promoted light birds. Lester's around here someplace, Castillo said. I don't want Kensington corrupting him any more than he already has. Delchamp, Davidson, Colonel Alfredo Munz, and Sandor Tor chuckled. Munz, a blond-headed, stocky man in his 40s, until recently had been the head of CIDE, which combines the functions of the Argentine versions of the FBI and the CIA. He was of German heritage and fluent in that language and several others. Tor, a Hungarian, was director of security for the newspaper Budapester Tageszeitung. Before that, he had been an inspector of police in Budapest and in his youth had done a hitch in the French Foreign Legion. I cannot hear what that woman is saying over all this brilliant repartee, Eric Billy Koshin announced indignantly in faintly accented English. The managing director and editor-in-chief of the Budapester Tageszeitung was a tall man with a full head of silver hair who looked to be in his 60s. He was, in fact, 82 years of age. Delchamp made a megaphone with his hands and called loudly, clearly implying that Koshin was deaf or senile, or both.
Billy, it looks like they've got a little storm in New Orleans.
Everybody laughed. Koshin threw his hands up in disgust and said something obscene and unflattering in Hungarian. But then the chuckles subsided, and they all returned their attention to the television. In deference to Koshin, Munz and Tor, they were watching Deutsche Welle, the German version, more or less, of Fox News. It was covering Hurricane Katrina in the Gulf Coast of the United States and had just reported, with some stunning accompanying video, that 80% of New Orleans was flooded, some parts of the port city under 20 feet of water, its entire population forced to flee. Castillo stared at the images of one of America's major cities in complete chaos and at the collection on screen of talking heads representing local, state, and federal government officials, all unequivocally with their thumbs up their collective asses while blaming one another for failure after failure, and heard himself mutter, "Unfucking believable." Not much in Nuestra Pequeña Casa was what it appeared to be, starting with the fact that our little house was in fact a very large house, bordering on a mansion. It was in the upscale Meyerling Country Club in the Buenos Aires suburb of Pilar. It had been rented, furnished except for light bulbs and linen, just over 3 weeks before, to a Señor Paul Cieno and his wife Susanna. The owner believed them to be a nice and affluent young couple from Mendoza. They had signed a year's lease for $4,000 US dollars a month, with the first and last month due on signing, plus another 2 months up front for a security deposit. The Cienos had paid the $16,000 in cash. Cash payments of that size are not at all uncommon in Argentina, where the government taxes every transaction paid by check, and where almost no one trusts the banks. Both El Señor y la Señora Cieno were in fact agents of the Central Intelligence Agency, and what they had really been after was a safe house, which is usually defined within the intelligence community as a place nobody else knows about, where one may hide things and people. Nuestra Pequeña Casa, the owner had named it, was ideal for this purpose. The Meyerling Country Club, which is several kilometers off the Panamericana Highway, about 50 kilometers north of the center of Buenos Aires, held about 100 houses very similar to Nuestra Pequeña Casa. Each sat upon about a hectare, or about 2.5 acres. It also held a Jack Nicklaus golf course, 5 polo fields, stables, tennis courts, and a clubhouse with a dining room that featured a 30-foot-high ceiling and 6 Czechoslovakian crystal chandeliers suspended over a highly polished marble floor. The entire country club was surrounded by a 9-foot-tall fence topped with razor wire and equipped with motion-sensing devices. When triggered, an alarm went off in the Edificio de Seguridad and floodlights came on where the intrusion had been detected. Then, members of the Meyerling Security Force, armed with everything from semi-automatic pistols and shotguns to fully automatic Uzis, rushed to the scene on foot, by auto, and in golf carts. None of this had anything to do with intelligence, espionage, or even the trade in illegal drugs, but rather with kidnapping. The kidnapping of well-to-do men, their wives, offspring, parents, sometimes even their horses and dogs, was Argentina's second-largest cottage industry, so the wags said, larger than all others except the teaching of the English language. Just about all of the houses within the Meyerling Country Club were individually fenced on 3 sides, most often by fences concealed in closely packed pine trees. They, too, had motion-sensing devices. Motion-sensing devices also prevented anyone from approaching the unfenced front of the houses without being detected. Nuestra Pequeña Casa was, for Meyerling, not an unusually large house. It had 6 bedrooms, all with bath, 3 other toilets with bidets, a library, a sitting room, a dining room, a kitchen, servants' quarters for the housing of 4, a swimming pool, and in the backyard near the pool, a quincho. A quincho, Paul Cieno explained, was much like an American pool house, except that it was equipped with a parrilla, a wood-fired grill, and was primarily intended as a place to eat, more or less outdoors. It was an extremely sturdy structure, built solidly of masonry, and had a rugged roof of mottled red Spanish tiles. The front of the quincho had a deep veranda, which also was covered by the tile roof, and a wall of sliding glass doors that overlooked the pool and backyard, and which served as the entrance from the veranda into the main room of the building.